Dear friends, during our last meeting, we started to study the first four trumpets and saw that they were ecological, environmental events and how they were related to the first message in the three messages of Revelation 14. Now, I would like to get into the heart of the matter and examine what happens at the sound of the first four trumpets. So, let's read again the text relating to the first trumpet in Revelation chapter 8, verse 7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. The disaster is huge. A third of the planet is damaged. You may say, the trees are already affected. The sea is already affected. Pollution is responsible for all these things. That's true. That's true, but this does not explain the brutality of what is described here. A trumpet blast that sounds next to you makes you jump. It wakes you up. So, there is this preparation time we talked about. But the events described here are sudden. And when we are told about one-third, it means that suddenly, within a short time, a few hours, or a few days, or week, maybe, one-third of the planet is affected. What is it all about? We are told that things fall from the sky, fire and hail. This alternation of fire and hail reminds major climatic disorders. We do already have major climatic disorders, but we can imagine other things. Is it a meteorite falling to Earth? Is it volcanism? Is it gigantic fire? Only the future can tell. The text is not precise enough for us to know more. Let's understand that it concerns a major event. I can show you some pictures of what already exists. But let me tell you that what awaits us with the trumpets is considerably more important. Therefore, let's look at these pictures. There you have huge fires, as those you have heard about in Australia, in Canada, in the Philippines. The fire was such that the whole country was affected. We can also think about plant diseases that will damage trees. Abalone has been affected, and you can see images like these where trees die, where trees are completely defoliated and offer a spectacle of death. I will not insist any further, but let us remember that there is probably major climate changes. We can come to the second trumpet. Let us read the text in chapter 8, verse 8. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Here, the sea is the one affected. And it is a mountain that is thrown into the sea. So obviously, the first thought that comes to mind is that a large meteorite would fall into the sea. And indeed, such an event would certainly produce a significant tsunami, causing destruction of lots of boats and huge climate disorders. All this is possible. The text simply tells us that the sea became blood. Of course, it reminds us of the plague against Egypt, where the Nile water became blood, having the appearance of blood. And you probably know that if silt may have been carried by the Nile, or whatever natural phenomenon was behind, the miracle is that it was only when Moses intervened that the change occurred. Well, in our case, we know that already exists what is called red tides. These red tides are the result of microalgae that grow in such quantities that if each one is not visible when alone, but all together they give a red color to the sea. These algae are generally toxic. And even if they are not toxic, they develop in such an extent that they consume all the oxygen in the sea. So, if they spread on a large surface, they consume all oxygen in that surface, not allowing any other life, because all living things need oxygen to survive. So, we can understand that a third of what is in the sea die. I have to admit that we have rarely witnessed such a phenomenon, but from time to time, important red tides, growing slightly larger, have been seen extending over miles and tens of square miles. But most of the time, these red tides occupy some hectares, although China has reported that in 2010, thousands of miles from its shores have already been affected by red tides phenomena. So, it means that there are events that can have literal understanding, that we are not obliged to look for wide and varied interpretations. What is important to understand is that this kind of understanding can only be recent. People and interpreters who have studied the text of Revelation in past centuries could not imagine a more direct realization of this phenomenon. So, behold the disaster. A third of that which is in the sea dies. A third of ships is destroyed, and there is evidently something that is likely to shake up the planet, changing international trade, perhaps to destroy part of the coasts. Yet, an important activity is located for all countries on the coast. Now, let's see the description in the third trumpet. I invite you to read from verse 10, still in chapter 8 of Revelation. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of waters. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Here, it is no longer the sea, but the rivers and springs of waters that are impacted. Rivers and springs of water are also affected by pollution. But I think we are told here about something else. We are told of waters that become bitter and toxic. So, if the rivers are affected by pollution, what can affect spring waters? I think it is important to understand that springs of water are fed by underground galleries, infiltration of rain, and before the water that falls as rain comes out as spring, they require quite a lot of time. And the following observation was made in laboratories that were responsible for regularly analyzing spring water. It was found that radioactivity increased in these springs. So, while these waters were free of any pesticide or pollutant, a contaminant happened to penetrate these springs. It was radioactivity. Radioactive consequences have a time lag that could go up to 15 years. And it was found that this increase in radioactivity could have a delay of 15 years with an increase in the ambient radioactivity due to atomic testing or due to the bombs that were dropped in different places. This is something quite interesting to me, because it is clearly said that these waters were bitter, and many people died from them. In general, the radioactivity of springs of water is not so high as to cause instant death of a couple of people. But there is also some kind of natural radioactivity in water springs through radon or other elements that is not toxic. There is certainly even some utility to a certain radioactivity. But if I push a little further, this increase in radioactivity could be an important phenomenon, and this through a detail given to us in the text. The name of the star that falls is absent. You may not know that absinthe in Russian means black plant. In other words, Chernobyl. Wouldn't there be here an allusion from God to tell us that the third trumpet speaks of the increase of the radioactivity in water springs? Maybe. I leave it to your discretion, but I think it was worth noting. Now, I would like to discuss with you about the fourth trumpet. Let us read what is said in chapter 8, verse 12. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day didn't shine, and likewise the night. A darkening of the sun, contrary to what we saw in chapter 6, there is a simultaneous darkening of the sun, moon and stars. We can imagine several reasons for this. First, we can think about gigantic fires. You know very well that during the fires that occurred in Indonesia, a huge cloud of smoke was spread not only in Indonesia, where it was hard to see nearby, but also in the neighboring countries. I'll show you a picture, this one, where you can see white clouds, but also a gray cloud. And the gray cloud that enters the Northeast Asian is nothing but a cloud of smoke due to the huge fires that occurred in Indonesia. Therefore, some simple and natural phenomena can darken the sun, the moon, and the stars. We could get the same thing with a significant feature of volcanism. A volcano that begins to spew lava at the same time spits significant amount of smoke. You may remember in recent years the Iceland volcano. It hurled such an amount of smoke in the atmosphere, thus prevented airliners from flying. There are here phenomena that can be perfectly explained and can easily touch a third of the planet. Therefore, these are not things that are totally out of reach. Finally, we can imagine a cloud of interstellar dust coming between the Sun and the Earth, thus darkening all celestial lights. Anyway, whatever the phenomenon, we shall witness it later as the future reveals it. We are not obliged to interpret these things spiritually. These are phenomena that can happen now, but so far they have not spread to the point where they suddenly affect a third of the planet. So, what now? Doing these things, what shall we do? What can we say? What significant meaning must we give to these events? Well, we have already seen it. It brings one to reflect on oneself. The idea is not to turn our eyes upon others at that moment, but to look at ourselves. This is the time when we have to say something to ourselves and about ourselves, and also to God, saying, "That's what I am. I recognize what I am." This does not allow me to go much further about others, but it allows me to dig much deeper within myself. Now, I'd like to invite you to read just the end of chapter 8, verse 13. Because verse 13 tells us what will happen with the next three trumpets. What we have seen with the first four trumpets is already quite important, more important than what we have seen so far in the news. But what will happen in the next three is more likely to question us. Let us read this text, Revelation 8, verse 13. "And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound.'" This flying angel through the midst of heaven, which means that this announcement is for the whole world, this angel tells us we have just gone through four terrible trials, but the next three are even more important. Am I scaring you? Not at all. We are in the framework of the trumpets. Each trumpet is a call from God. Let us not forget that God holds the winds, moderates the events, and is willing to give each one of us another opportunity to reflect on ourselves and trust Him, because how can we, in such a situation, still have reasons to have confidence in ourselves? We definitely can't. Let me show you how this simple indication provides us with precious chronological references. When we read the next verse in chapter 9, verse 1, we see, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit." Here again, a star falls from the sky. We have already seen one during the first four trumpets, but I will show you that this one is quite different, because to this star is given the key of the abyss. And at the end of the passage, we are told that in Hebrew language it is called Abaddon, or in Greek Apollyon. Let us read it together in verse 11. "And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon." So we are told that this star, in fact, is an angel. Abaddon or Apollyon evokes destruction. It does not refer anymore to a star like a meteorite, but to a character. And you see how the context allows us to say that this is something literal and non-symbolical. Therefore, we must take this into account. So, the fifth trumpet sounds, and after the sounding, we come to the end of this fifth trumpet where we are told the following in verse 12. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. The fifth trumpet is the first woe, and we are led to understand that there are still two more woes after that. Then the sixth trumpet sounds. We shall see this later. It is question of extraordinary horses which hurt with their tail and with their mouth. One can think that at the end of this episode, we would be told, behold, the second woe is past. Well, not at all. We need to get to the middle of chapter 11 to see such an event. Let's look at chapter 11, verse 14. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. In other words, the second woe is the sixth trumpet, including all that is therein, which means chapter 10 with the episode of the little book and chapter 11 with the episode of the two witnesses. It also gives us an important clue, because these episodes of the open book and the two witnesses are contemporary of the sixth trumpet. They go together. Therefore, we'll have to study them as a whole. Then we open on the third woe. The third woe is coming quickly. We understand that this is the seventh trumpet, and when we read about the seventh trumpet, this is not a woe. It is the kingdom of the world that becomes to our Lord and Christ. But do you remember what we saw regarding the 24 elders? The time of his wrath has come. Thus, the seventh trumpet announces the time of wrath, and the time of wrath is the bowls. What we have seen relating to a third of the planet will happen all over the planet with the bowls. So, we have a worsening situation of what would have occurred so far. This is the third war. And the climax of this third war will be the fall of Babylon, when kings, military leaders, merchants, shipmasters and sailors, everyone will say, alas, alas, the great city is fallen, this is the third woe. What shall we grasp about this? If this woe leads to the fall of Babylon, remember that the second message of Revelation 14 given by the 144,000 concerns Babylon. The first message concerns the judgment of God through ecology. The second will focus on the judgment of Babylon and will have to define what Babylon is all about. May God help us to see things clearly. Did not Jesus say to his contemporaries, "You do not know the time"? Do we know the time today? How would we know without studying the prophecy?